Picture a couple 15 years into marriage, sitting across from each other at dinner in complete silence. Not the comfortable silence of deep connection, but the heavy quiet of two people who've run out of things to say. This is Mary and Sam's reality, and it's far more common than most newlyweds would ever imagine. What happened to the butterflies, the late-night conversations, the feeling that you'd found your soulmate? Here's the uncomfortable truth. The gap between what we expect from marriage and what we actually experience isn't the exception, it's the rule. We enter marriage with hearts full of romance and heads full of dreams, only to discover we've signed up for something far more challenging and, paradoxically, far more meaningful than we ever anticipated. The problem isn't that marriage is broken, it's that our expectations were unrealistic from the start. Everyone searches for treasure, something valuable enough to make the hard work of marriage worthwhile. Tom has a beautiful family, but constant irritation with his wife has drained all his joy. Cindy lies awake mourning how her once charming husband has become distant and distracted. These stories reveal an unavoidable reality. Every marriage eventually becomes difficult when two imperfect people face life together in a broken world. Every marriage is a battlefield where two kingdoms collide, not dramatically, but in countless small moments. Who controls the thermostat? Whose family gets Christmas? These aren't logistics. They're territorial disputes between the kingdom of self and the kingdom of God. We enter marriage thinking we're in love, but often we're attracted to how well someone serves our personal kingdom. Gwen had scrapbooks of her dream home. Barry was analytical and steady. They seemed perfect until unexpected twins and financial pressure exposed the truth. They'd fallen in love with how each served their own plans, not each other. Marital anger rarely stems from violated biblical principles. It erupts when our spouse breaks the laws of our personal kingdom, loading the dishwasher wrong, not appreciating our efforts, missing unspoken expectations. Here's the radical insight. A marriage of love and unity isn't rooted in romance, it's rooted in worship. Worship shapes your identity and everything flowing from it. The fundamental problem occurs when we seek from our spouse what only God can provide: completion, fulfillment, satisfaction. No human can carry these burdens. A God-centered marriage flows from three perspectives: seeing your spouse as divine artistry deserving dignity, recognizing different backgrounds as God's sovereign plan, and responding to failures from shared grace rather than self-righteous judgment. True reconciliation begins with praying, "Your kingdom come," right here in this marriage. Your marriage isn't defined by your wedding day. It's shaped by Tuesday morning when you're both running late and how you respond when your spouse forgets the milk again. Marriages deteriorate through inattention, carelessly squeezing toothpaste tubes, complaining about chores, going to bed irritated, skipping physical affection, making decisions without consultation, neglecting the friendship that brought you together. This requires three perspectives: a harvest mentality, connecting today's seeds with tomorrow's fruit; an investment mentality, recognizing you receive returns based on what you pursue; and a grace mentality that moves beyond keeping score. A thriving marriage demands daily commitments, regular confession and forgiveness, making transformation your agenda rather than settling for coexistence, building trust through consistent follow-through, incarnating Christ's love through practical sacrifice, dealing with differences through appreciation rather than annoyance, and protecting against the dangerous feeling of arrival that breeds complacency. Marriages stagnate when couples won't confess failures or forgive each other. Most focus on their partner's faults while ignoring their own, creating repeated arguments. Confession requires accurate self-perception, welcoming criticism and keeping short accounts instead of accumulating resentments. Even confession can't heal marriages without forgiveness, the costly act of canceling debts. Without it, couples develop criticism and defensiveness from little drops of unforgiveness. people resist forgiveness because it offers relational power, making your spouse grovel, claiming moral superiority, wielding emotional weaponry. But this power poisons. Biblical forgiveness is vertical, then horizontal, giving the offense to God, then extending grace to your spouse. Marriage requires the same care as gardening. Real change means uprooting harmful patterns while cultivating beneficial ones. The most destructive weeds include selfishness, busyness that reduces marriage to what happens between other priorities, inattention, self-righteousness that prevents identifying our contributions, fear, and laziness rooted in self-love. Clearing weeds isn't enough. You must plant flowers or weeds return. Intentionally cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Love your spouse concretely, count blessings over complaints, overlook minor offenses, show kindness, remain faithful in thoughts and actions, practice gentleness, and exercise self-control. These qualities require divine help to transform marriage from within. Trust means being so convinced of another person's integrity that you willingly place yourself in their care. Without it, couples cohabitate peacefully but cannot achieve intimate, vulnerable union. Trust manifests through consistent actions. Keep promises, especially small daily commitments. Pay attention to what matters to your spouse. Offer humble confession rather than defensive excuses. Listen well. Follow through on plans. Share concerns with your spouse rather than outside confidants. Live without suspicion or secrecy. When trust shatters through accumulated neglects or massive betrayal, restoration requires admitting your need for help, getting outside support, refusing to give up when emotions fray, risking vulnerability again, expecting setbacks, and ultimately placing hope in Jesus rather than your spouse. Many couples believe love keeps them together, while actually living in a love drought, having adapted to dysfunction until it feels normal, like someone who grows accustomed to knee pain until limping becomes their natural gait. True love isn't physical attraction or cultural compatibility. Love is best defined by the cross of Jesus Christ, willing self-sacrifice for another's good that doesn't require reciprocation or deservingness. This love grows from gratitude, not duty, and our capacity to love our spouse directly reflects our love for God. Unforgiveness produces bitterness and distance. Forgiveness creates appreciation, patience, and unity. Love means seeing your spouse as someone created in God's image, deserving dignity and honor regardless of performance. It means choosing service when you don't feel like it, kindness when irritation would be easier, patience when you'd rather demand immediate change. This love requires intentional cultivation and constant dependence on God's grace. Your spouse's differences aren't cosmic accidents. They're deliberate choices from God's creative design. Contrasting personalities, varied experiences, and different spiritual stages aren't obstacles, but instruments of transformation. Unity in marriage isn't sameness, it's how you respond to differences. When you resist your spouse's differences, you're resisting God's design. Marriage is one of His most effective sanctification tools, using friction between two different people to sand away selfishness and sharp edges. Through God's grace, your marriage becomes a place where problems are faced honestly, real change happens consistently, and mistakes aren't endlessly repeated. In a world promising easy happiness, marriage offers something more valuable: the slow, difficult, beautiful work of two imperfect people learning to love sacrificially, patiently, and without keeping score. Your spouse isn't your enemy or savior. They're your companion on the journey toward becoming who God created you to be.